Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And my name is Nolan.
And this is New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend seven days.
Week number five.
We're doing it.
This is over a month.
Is that? Yeah, I guess that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for those of you that haven't picked up yet, this is a weekly podcast, and the new episodes will come out every Monday morning. So you'll have a full week to listen to it many times before you're able to download the following one.
Many times? It's optimistic.
So, true story, at the start of this week, I was at Buffalo Wild Wings, and there was some sports game going on, I don't even know, and everybody was there to watch the sports game. It was on every single one of the TVs, probably 100 TVs in the restaurant. There was one TV that did not have the sports game on, and on that one TV, Jurassic Park was playing.
Yep. The
and
smallest
game?
TV.
Yeah, no, the movie.
Oh, I was so confused.
No. Yeah, the movie.
And I sat there watching some of it and was just utterly amazed when I was realizing that the game we played last week was just like the movie.
I know. It's spot on, really.
It's false. Can we not live there? We have such better things to talk about this week.
That game feels like it's 10 years older than the movie.
And it came out right after.
Right. Yeah,
that's very true. But we don't have to talk about that, and I'm not even going to ask if you played it, because if you did, then...
No, you have to always ask if we revisited.
But that would be... If either of you did, I would think less of you.
Well,
I did tell
we
two
both know
people
Kenny did.
About how terrible it was. Like, I went out of my way to ruin the game for others.
Yeah, that would never play it anyways. You
exactly.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you didn't play any, Kenny?
No.
Nolan?
No.
And I did not either. Before we get into this week's game, I want to ask my fellow interlocutors a question.
Okay.
Do you like
good
work?
Taunting us so hard.
Do you like work? Okay, so I had a conversation with one of our listeners this last week, and in an attempt to be genuinely kind, he said, I really enjoy the podcast. You fill a niche really well. And I appreciate what he was trying to say, but I disagree with what he said. And the more that I've thought about it and the more time that's passed, I've kind of like just disagreed even more. And here's why. I believe that every single gamer is or will be a retro gamer. Like
at some point in their life.
Yeah, so like those in their 20s and 30s, and this is broad stroke, but I think they have a love for these games that they were drawn to when they were younger. And so when gaming was just becoming a thing, you know, they have these connections to these old games. And so they are retro gamers, or at least they have retro games on their hearts to some degree. Those under 20, they might not be into retro games yet, but in 5 years or in 10 years or in 15 years, the games that they loved when they first came out will then be retro. And so they will then be retro gamers. Do you see what I'm saying?
So your argument is 15 years from now, when we're still doing this podcast and we have 3 billion listeners and it's cool, we'll finally be able to play Candy Crush Saga.
Yeah, and we'll
be like, this game is so retro.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think we fill a niche with this. I mean, we're not going to play Candy Crush, but I don't think we fill a niche with this podcast. I think we cater to and are able to connect with a rolling audience that either loves and appreciates old games now or will love and appreciate old games in the future.
Yeah,
I do have
true.
To say on that front, I sort of assumed that this podcast would kind of lead towards the nerd crowd, if you will, that we would kind of miss your kind of normal people. And I had a number of conversations this week accidentally with people that spawned because we're going through this process of playing retro games, about people who love and enjoy games that I wouldn't have expected them to.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to be cool? On what you said, Dustin, years down the road, we'll be able to look back at like decades of gaming, like so different periods of gaming. So you've obviously have your 80s right now, 90s, 2000s. And then like once we're old though, it's going to be cool to look back and think that was a great period of time in gaming. Like we'll look back on the 90s and think about, you know, the Zelda games, the N64 and stuff. And I think that's true. Like there's always going to be some sort of retro game that people connect with. Even if you're younger now, when you're older, you're going to think, well, Halo 3 was really awesome or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nostalgia's really powerful. And especially when something is as good as this week's game.
There we go. Well, yeah. This week we played Mega Man 2, and let's talk about it.
We did.
I've prepared an overview. Do you want to hear it?
Go for it, baby.
Overview.
Okay. Most of you have probably heard of Mega Man in some way, shape, or form. It's a pretty well-known series. And pretty iconic based on the character design and the concept. So it basically, Mega Man, if you don't know, is a robot who looks like a boy but is wearing a blue suit, who shoots peas at bad guys. And he fights evil. He was created by Dr. Light, who is this scientist that's wearing all white and is like, represents God or something, you know? To stop evil, who is Dr. Wily. And then, so it's like this scientist drama on top of a futuristic setting, and it's a shooter, so pretty much all the games we've played so far in one. And it was on the NES, so that's the first Nintendo system, published by Capcom. And it came out in 88, 89, I'm not sure. So this is a pretty old game. It's one of the oldest games we've done, but it didn't really feel like it to me.
No, not at all.
But Mega Man's a platformer, so you know, there's a lot of jumping, a lot of shooting enemies, dodging enemies. It's really difficult to dodge enemies in this game. They kind of force you into a certain kind of play style, and it's fairly fast paced of a platformer, in my opinion. Just based on hazards in the levels or, you know, just the pace that it kind of forces you into. So that's a brief overview of Mega Man in general. And Mega Man 2 is obviously the sequel to the first game. And I didn't know this, but this is the first time I played this game, the Mega Man 2 at least. I'm familiar with the series. But I found out that this is actually one of the most highly regarded in the series.
Yeah,
I didn't know that
too.
Yeah, I gotta say, when we picked up this game, I was excited because I thought I had memories of it from my childhood, and then I realized I didn't, because one of the like forms that you can take on that I was expecting to find and get to play as never happened. So you guys, if you know, or one of our viewers or someone, will have to straighten me out. But I was expecting one of the Mega Man forms to allow you to like shoot snakes.
As Mega Man 3. Sounds.
Is that 3?
Snake Man, yeah.
Okay, 3 is the one I played, which feels real similar in the setup and the style.
Mm-hmm. 3
and
is
how it works.
Yeah, it's great.
But not one I had played as a kid.
So y'all just pointed out, but there, for those that don't know, this game didn't stop with Mega Man 1 and 2. It has gone on to make so many other games, dozens of other Mega Man games. And so obviously it's been successful. And for the most part, and there are a few that are outside of this, outside of what I'm about to say, but for the most part, most Mega Man games are pretty much this exact same structure. Yeah. I mean, you start on one side of the stage and you move across to the other. Yep. You fight a robot boss, and then you get an ability that you can then use in further stages.
Yeah, there are a few that have gone off that path. Mega Man Legends might have been the first. I don't know if it was the first one like this, but probably for the PlayStation, where it's like a third person view of Mega Man, and it's an adventure game essentially.
A little bit more like RPG.
It's amazing, and it was so different from the platformer style, the classic Mega Man that you're familiar with. And they've done Mega Man Battle Network for the handheld systems, like for GBA and stuff, which was really awesome too. But yeah, for the most part, it's that same platformer jumping, shooting type of game.
And these games aren't heavy on story. It gives you a little bit of story at the beginning and maybe wraps it up at the end, but the game is not focused on the story as much as it is on the gameplay.
Yeah. If anything there is to even knock about the game, and there's not, that would be the one thing that was kind of weak or almost a little laughable. Like the plot line that it sets up at the beginning is kind of
And they
silly.
Make up for it for how creative the game is in general. So it won't bother you, probably.
No. It's worth reading through to then go play.
Sure. And so let's talk about some of these other elements within our overview. I think the setting, even the graphics and with the variety and then the audio, those three things, the setting, the graphics, and the audio, that is what makes this a fun and exciting game to play.
Absolutely.
And so I'll just explain with the setting, and then someone else can maybe talk about graphics or audio. But the setting is you've got eight different levels for the most part, and then you've got some Wily stages, which are some kind of boss levels at the end. But you've got eight different levels that are themed, and so you've got an underwater type theme, and then at the end you'll fight a boss that has, you know, bubble abilities, and then you've got a fire themed stage, you've got a metal themed stage, you've got a leaf themed stage, you know, that's in the forest. You've got all these different themes that are done really well and have their own unique you know, qualities to the stages that you have to overcome. And so each stage is very, very different than the others.
Yeah.
That's intriguing because it's not like you're not doing the exact same thing every single stage. You're doing completely different.
It's one thing for them to have just designed it to look like a Bubble Man stage, a water stage. But what comes to mind, they force you to play in a certain way. Like what comes to my mind is Quick Man stage, where you've got those like, you know, those lasers coming and you have to quickly get past them.
Brilliant.
I was like, oh, okay, it's Quick Man stage.
Brilliant.
And it's awesome. Yeah, that's crazy that they can force you to play
the
that
theme
way.
The theme went beyond the art. Like, it went as far as, like, it's gameplay and feel and tone, and, like, it was all-encompassing.
I think the graphics were, like, it's not like, I mean, you can't compare them to graphics of today, but even back then, like, I just think I don't know.
They're simple, but they're so well done.
It blew my mind that this was on the NES.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They utilized every single aspect that they could with such limited capabilities. Mm-hmm. It amazes me.
You can tell their creativity, like even in offering the ability to have those passcodes between levels.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the platform was so limited, you don't have space to like save a game. And the game is so unique in terms of progression and what you do, it would be almost impossible to expect someone to do like flawless playthroughs, you know, to actually progress in the game, at least on kind of like first time throughs without some ability to save.
Yeah. And see, that was at least my gripe about our last game, that it was just, you know, there's no forgiving aspect of it.
Absolutely. And so they came up with
it. And so they knew that it was going to be really hard, which is fine and awesome. And so they're like, here, it's a reward essentially, because you beat a really hard boss and you're like, cool, I can come back to this point. Back then, that was not like, you didn't have memory cards, you know?
Right. Yeah. The fact that you could do that despite not having the ability to save just shows how well they used the platform, and they used the platform that well on its other fronts as well. Like, they took it graphically about as far as you can expect.
Yeah. I don't want to move away from the overview without talking about the sound, the audio, because I think the music is just one of the coolest things about this game.
Yeah, I'll touch on this again when you ask me my favorite aspect. Kenny, you talk right now. I'll talk about it later.
It's creative. It fits the theme. Is unique to each of the levels that you play. It's just quality. Like, it adds to the immersive nature of the game.
before the final boss, you have to you drop three screens, and then you have to, there's no enemies to fight, you just have to walk across and just avoid these acid drops, and these acid drip sounds was one of the funnest things of the entire stage. And it's so like, and that's just pinpointing one aspect. All of these different creatures and shots and bosses and stages have unique sound effects and music, and it just blew my mind going through it. And it was every single song was on point. And
I know, it's crazy.
And the gameplay is that good as well. Like the creativity of, like, as you're unlocking your different abilities, the way it interacts with different levels differently is absolutely mind-blowing. It makes the replayability of this game like crazy high.
Absolutely.
Shall
so
we talk
high.
About gameplay?
Let's talk about gameplay.
Gameplay.
As I said, there are eight different stages, eight different main stages, and you can go in any order that you want to. It doesn't, you can go in absolutely any order you want to. It will make it more difficult if you don't plan it out, but your first playthrough, if you're just playing this for the first time, you're going to have no idea. So you know which order to go with. And the reason why does it matter, kind of like for those that have never played, they don't even know why it would matter.
Oh, ultimately it matters because of this beautiful anecdote. I sat down to play this game and was sharing it with someone else. My girlfriend came over and we were playing. And so she sat down and looked at me playing and she says, "Play the Crash Man stage." Because obviously he's the coolest in her mind. So we beat the level and then we spent an hour replaying the level and smashing our head against the keyboard trying to beat this boss because we're both way too competitive. And it was a really, really, really tall order, because he's hard when you're just normal, when you haven't upgraded your character. And like, those are things you would have to learn and figure out which of the other bosses to beat to give you the abilities you would need to beat him. So when we went back and ended up doing it in an easier, a more proper order later, it was amazing. Like, he was significantly more, like, doable without.
Yeah. Basically, the powers you get from one boss will be super effective, if you will, against another boss. So there's definitely an optimal order, which I went into blind. I wanted to play this blind, so I have my kill order. Do you?
That's fun. So Nolan, how about you share yours first? Okay. What level order and boss order did you go through?
Okay, kill order is as follows. Heat Man was my first, followed by Metal Man, because I was like, oh, you know, I'll melt him. Wood Man, Bubble Man, Flash Man, Crash Man, because it rhymes, Quick Man, and then Air Man, because I started with Air Man and was like, no, this stage is stupid. And so I did him last.
Yeah.
Too much falling into the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny, do you recall what order you went through?
Okay. So my order, if I recall, is a little more quote unquote standard, but I don't even know. I don't know what people necessarily do. But it felt like it was fairly easy naturally. I did Metal Man first, and then Air Man. Then I went on and did Wood Man. After that, I jumped down to do Crash Man and get my revenge on his face, because at this point I hated him so much. Then went on to do Bubble Man, which those waterfall graphics almost gave me epilepsy and was cool. Onto Quick Man, and then Heat Man, and then Flash Man, I believe was the order.
My order was, I completely came up with it by looking on the Mega Man wiki and following their suggested order. So,
that's not a surprise.
So I did Airman first, which is very weak to just your regular arm cannon, and then Crash Man, which I was able to take out with Airman's air shooter, then Flash Man, and then Quick Man, Metal Man, Bubble Man, Heat Man, and I concluded with Wood Man. And so
interesting.
That's the order. And like
I felt like Metal Man was really, really easy, like, to do on its own. And I felt like skill that you got from that was the most universally applicable to other levels. So I'm surprised it wasn't earlier in the sequence.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that. You mentioned Metal Man's, which is a really cool thing that he shoots off
blade saw.
Yeah, blade saw, and you can direct it. So it can go forward. It can go, you know, like at a diagonal mm-hmm. angle, or it can go up above you. So it is very useful. Which weapon was your favorite, Kenny?
Oh, favorite is hard.
Which was your favorite? Which did you use most?
I definitely used Metal Man the most.
The metal ability?
Yeah, I almost lived as him. Like, the cost was cheap enough that you could almost stay in that form if you wanted.
Yeah.
Unless you needed the special forms. Obviously, some of the, like, more unique moments where you had to, like, figure out more of a puzzle were fun and rewarding. I also really like the cannon.
Yeah. Just,
you know,
what?
That shot the missile and then, like,
Crash
blew
Man?
Up. Yeah, Crash Man's.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So your arch nemesis.
All right, Nolan, your favorite weapon?
My favorite weapon was, it was probably Metal Man's as well. And that's kind of cool because that must be a universal kind of idea because some of our listeners might be familiar with Mega Man because of his recent inclusion in Smash Brothers. And one of his signature moves in that game is the blade saw. You can, you know, control where it goes just like in the game. So that's kind of cool. And I found that one really useful. But another one that I really liked was Bubble Man's. I found it really easy to, like, control. And I used it against bosses a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good one on bosses for sure.
So
yeah.
I'm pretty confident that you can only beat the final boss with the bubble ability.
Is that the case? Because I was like, am I hurting him?
Yeah, I think the other ones refill his health bar.
Weird. Because I tried a lot of them and I couldn't tell because the screen is black. And I was like, all right, I'll use Bubble Man. It slowly worked. So
there were definitely a lot of the bosses that were immune to specific things, at least to Metal Man, like a
right.
number of them.
They
were
would just
immune.
Ricochet off his body, mm-hmm. off the boss's body, yeah. Yes.
Which was nice because I used that so much during the playthroughs. Mm-hmm. It was nice to have to pull out other forms on bosses and get to use them.
Yeah, sure. I'll answer what my favorite weapon is.
Okay, Dustin. Derek, what was your favorite weapon?
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll answer what my favorite weapon is. My favorite weapon was Quick Boomerang.
Yeah.
I loved it. It's cheap to use, kind of like the metal one, and in fact, it doesn't take away any of the ability's power unless it hits. So you can just be casting it over and over and over again, and it'll come back to you as a boomerang does.
Interesting.
And until it hits something else, it doesn't even take away any of the energy from that.
That's cool. So it's like you can have
like
a threat
outfit,
out at all times in case you need it.
Yeah.
Like,
and
just keep throwing it out.
And the outfit was pink. And so that was awesome. That's gameplay. Okay, actually, when you finish the game, and Mega Man's just walking towards the screen like a boss.
And
with
that
music. I just...
That music, that scene right there sealed the deal for me. I was like, this is the best Mega Man ever.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Oh my goodness.
It really was.
All right. Okay, before we leave gameplay, after you beat the 8 stages, what happens?
You go to Wily's castle.
You go to kind of like the boss stage, but it's a long extended sort of boss sequence. It's like the 8 stages actually puts you probably about halfway through like gameplay.
Yeah,
maybe a little farther, maybe 2/3 of the way.
Yep.
But it feels like you're almost done and you still have a good amount of gameplay left mm-hmm. afterwards.
And so there are 3 or 4 mini boss stages, and by mini boss, they're really just bosses, but they are like one is just, and they're
dragon.
All different. So cool. The dragon that's chasing you, and then you have
that comes out of nowhere. You think, oh, I'm just hopping platforms right now. And then the dragon starts like following you.
Right. And then there's a couple more stages, and then you finally fight the final boss. And
it's worth mentioning, a staple, I guess you could say, of the Mega Man series is what's called the boss rush.
Right.
Which is Okay, you beat all eight stages, all eight bosses, and then you go to Wily's Castle, do a few, you know, stages there, and you eventually get to a room where there are eight portals that will take, that you can decide which one you want to go in, but you don't know which one you're going in, and it's, you just fight the boss again, the ones that you've already beaten, and you have to beat all of them before you can continue, so.
I don't recall if they do, but with the layout being what it is, do they not match where the layout was on the screen?
Maybe. I didn't pay
attention. I didn't pay attention either. They might. Because
at that point, you have all of the skills.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that, though, you've got to be very wise with the abilities you're using, because in between bosses, the only thing you get is a health.
Right.
You don't get energy refills. Mm-hmm. So that's just a brilliant way. And you know what we didn't mention? We didn't mention the three items.
Yeah, really cool. The little like floaty, the things that will get you up somewhere vertical. Yeah.
So after you beat three bosses, and I don't know which one they are, but after you beat three of them, for each one of those, you get an item, either item one, item two, or item three. And one of those, item two, I believe, is kind of just a rocket that shoots you horizontally across mm-hmm. the stage. Item one is what?
It's like a floating platform that will get you vertical. Up.
Okay, and then item three?
Don't know.
It kind of... Like gravity floats over something that you like place it on, I think is how it worked. I didn't use it much.
I rarely used it. I didn't really understand it.
And the only thing I do, one of the things that was just a little bit frustrating is that when you get these items, even when you get the abilities, it doesn't, and I think they did this in later games, but it doesn't even show you what it actually does. And so the only way to see what that ability does or that item does is to test it when you get to the next stage.
It was a negative, but it was kind of fun too, because you had something new and it was sort of a surprise and you got to test it out and you didn't know against a boss would it do damage or not. Like you had to do some learning.
Yeah. Like when you get the item after you defeat the boss, it just says, get item, get equipped, and like that's all it would tell you.
True.
And then you could test it in the next. But that's the gameplay. Let's move on into how it aged.
Aged.
So beautifully. So very, very beautifully.
I think that it aged better than I ever thought that Mega Man's did. And I'll just be candid. I've never been a huge Mega Man fan. Not that I've had anything against it. It's just not my they've always been very difficult for me. Even playing
they're
through
hard
this,
games.
Even yeah. playing through this game. I mean, the save state is what made me not lose my sanity. I don't like to die, and in Mega Man you're going to die
a lot,
and you're going to die a lot. And so I've never – these have always been games that I've kind of just strayed away from because of, for me, the difficulty level. But in playing through this Mega Man game, I enjoyed it more than I thought. And you can tell it's an older game, but it would provide –
doesn't even matter. You were still so addicted, weren't you?
Yeah, and it would provide just as much entertainment and fun today as many other games.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have no complaint with it. Like – as far as age goes, there's nothing there that I'm like, this doesn't work anymore, or this isn't fun, or this is tedious. I played it right before we started recording, even though I had already beaten it. I'm addicted to it.
It's just so good.
I think it's creativity in style, in sound, and in mechanics is why it has become such a successful dynasty. I think that they have consistently done those three things well, and Mega Man 2 is kind of just like the prime example. I haven't played many of the other Mega Mans, but I know that from what I've seen and heard and read and just what I've experienced in playing Mega Man 2, it is, you know, the prime example of these things working well together and the creativity just shining in so many different areas that makes it a unique experience that can be played over and over and over again for many years to come.
I agree. And looking back at like the artwork, like right now I'm looking at the Japanese art for, I guess it was the box art for Mega Man 2, and it looks like so recent and so, like, it's a really good design, really good character designs for all of the bosses and for Mega Man himself. Like, I love that when a game has good artwork and music. And considering that this was on the NES, still, I can't believe that they went to these lengths, all these aspects to make sure this game did age. I feel like they had in mind, let's make this game last forever.
Yeah, to me, this game was like the opposite of what we played last week, whereas Jurassic Park felt rushed and terrible and not fun and poorly done, and like it had a team of four men. This seemed like a genius effort of like some of the best minds in game design coming together and just making something so like perfectly iconic. And doesn't surprise me at all that it spawned a franchise that's made millions of dollars and it still has a following, because it's just like, in my mind, it's almost the perfect NES game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of Mega Man 2, I'm sure they were like, okay, this is here to stay. Like, this series is going to last for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's sum this up.
The final shell shock.
Before we say kind of our favorite, and if we dare to go least favorite, I haven't said yet, but this is my first Mega Man that I've ever beaten. And within the last week, I've beaten it twice. I played it more than that, but I went through the entire game twice. It's just so enjoyable. It the length is great. I mean, you can beat it in less than 2 hours, and it's. But at the same time, all of that time is enjoyable. It's stressful at times, but it's. But this is the first Mega Man game that I've ever beaten, and like I just said, I played it more than once because of how much I enjoyed it. And so, what Nolan, what was your favorite aspect of Mega Man 2?
My favorite aspect was probably the soundtrack. I really, really, really like video game music and game soundtracks. And again, based on the age and when it came out, I was really surprised by the quality of the music and how well it worked with each stage. You don't really think about that aspect when you're playing it, or if you just don't know much about games. But when you're in a stage and there's music in the background, it may just be, you know, well, that's, you're not really listening to it, but it really does make the stage that much better, because you feel like you're in the moment. Like you're either being rushed on Quickman stage or you're in the water stage. And it's like, it really adds a lot to all the other great aspects. It's hard for me to pick because I really like this game. I like the gameplay and everything, but it's the soundtrack for me.
Okay. Kenny?
Probably the creativity, like in design, like the fact that it's replayable with different skills in different orders. And depending on which skills you have, you will beat the levels that you're going through in different ways. And just like the thought that goes into that is glorious and so much fun.
Yeah. My favorite is the gun upgrades, the ability changes. I'm a sucker for just advancement in technology within the game itself. And so anytime that there are strategies involved in which gun, you know, I'm going to select or which blaster I'm going to use, that's so fun to me. And
it gives it almost sort of an RPG-ish kind of element.
Yeah.
You know, where you feel like some ownership of the character.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Because of those choices.
Sure.
Right.
Makes the game so way like, more deep.
It's really early, like, placement of experience points and where I'm going to put, you know, where I'm going to choose to level up. Like, it feels like that. And so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, you have a certain amount of mana, I guess you could say, for each thing, which is, again, more strategy and more depth. It's brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Did anybody, is there anything that you want to point out of, you know, any negative aspects of the game, which are okay to have? Is there anything that, you know, you felt like maybe they could have done this better, or you're glad that it advanced in this area, or what?
I mentioned story, but nobody actually cares because it wasn't the point. maybe just difficulty, like without knowing and trying and like doing it again and again and again in lots of different orders, especially pre-internet, where you couldn't, you know, look up a guide, this would have just been a very tough game. And playing it as a kid, like, no save states, what you said is like, hey, it's a two-hour playthrough, would have been like, hey, it's a summer's worth of playing the game over and over and over again to try and beat it, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe the difficulty, just because I had that moment with Crash Man where I wanted to, like, burn the world.
Right.
Because Metal Man was doing nothing to him, and he was impossible in my mind to beat in the form that I was in.
The only thing, and I think they changed this in later editions of the game, but to have to switch to a different ability, you would have to just go into the pause menu and you know, go down or even move to the next page and then go down to find the ability that you want to. And the only way to know what the ability is by a single letter. And
it was a little clunky for sure.
Sometimes those letters didn't clarify what the ability was. So sometimes it was just trial and error between the start menu and back to see what ability I actually picked up to settle on the one that I was actually going for. And so I think in later, like they made it where you can do it, you know, on the go, which is, in my opinion, kind of just a much better way of doing that. I just felt it kind
or
of
it, like, cycles through different abilities. Yeah.
I just remembered one more. I meant to freak out about this and didn't because it was super frustrating.
Well, you freak out now.
I am. The fact that when you pick up your little, like, health restoration globes, that if you aren't already full health, that it, like, stutters the gameplay to play the animation because it can totally mess you up. There were numerous times where I would die to a creature.
Yeah, that was a problem off. With a lot of those games back then, too.
Like, I would make a point before going through a difficult part to, like, get my health completely restored so that if I accidentally hit one of those orbs, it wouldn't, like, throw me off. And so it felt like something that should have been a positive. And the animation was cool. Like, when you were seeing it outside of in the middle of trying to kill things, it was neat. But it ended up kind of distracting from gameplay and almost made something that should have been, like, a positive kind of a negative. So there were moments I was frustrated with that.
Right. For me, it's really hard to pick one. I didn't give this any thought. I'm sure if I would have, and I should have prepared, but if I would have thought more about it, I could probably have something that I like my least favorite thing. But in agreement with you, Dustin, I think having to pause it and then the interface of the pause menu was just a little unintuitive, made it difficult at times, but once you got the hang of it, it wasn't so bad. But yeah, that's probably my only gripe.
It's kind of fair though. Picking like a least favorite part of the game is kind of like someone telling you to like pick your least favorite kid. Like,
yeah,
you might have one, but the game's so good and you care about all of it enough that like you don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even really exist.
Well, it's time to select our next game.
Can we just play this one another week?
Yeah, we'll
Mega
talk
Man
about it
3.
2 weeks. Let's just go through the whole series. This podcast.
Yeah, this
podcast. I would not
became a
be
Mega Man
that.
Podcast.
Yeah. It is time to pick a new game, and we will. We want you guys to play the game with us. You can't come over to my house, but you can play it on your own or with your friends.
You can go to Kenny's house.
You can go to Kenny's house. His address is.
It's posted on the internet.
You play with us and then send in, you know, throughout the next 7 days, send in your thoughts, send in your comments, send in your questions about the game so that we can include those. And by you can send them in to ngppodcast@gmail.com. You can any of our social media. Listen, we've got Facebook now, which is .com/ngppodcast.
What?
We've got Twitter/ngppodcast. We've even got a SoundCloud, which is /ngppodcast. We've made it very easy for you to find us, to be our friends. We've actually received this last week a lot of emails from some really cool people, and I really thank you guys for taking some time to like send us some game suggestions to add to our master
list.
Yeah,
it's really cool to hear from you guys. It's really encouraging.
And if you have some cool insight into games or thoughts about the show, we'll comment on those or read them out during the show. So send us email for sure.
Definitely. At the end of every week, we put the games from our master list into a random generator, and it's time for us to select a new game. The game we are playing next is Animaniacs.
That was lucky. I wanted to play that one.
Animaniacs. I think my wife will watch me play this entire one because she loved this television show back in the day.
It's a fun game for sure. If I remember, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time too. Super Nintendo, is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't remember if I ever played it. It's one I have sort of connotations with of it being enjoyable, but I don't know why. And yeah. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we'll play that. Hey, by the way, my mommy is listening now. She started listening this last week. Hey, mommy.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, mommy.
Hey, Mom.
But she told me that, like, she's not listening to this to support her son or because she loves her son, but because she misses Kenny.
it's because of my radio voice. That's the last thing I would have guessed she listens to this podcast for.
Yeah.
I'm so honored.
Kenny. Well, so how about you tell her thank you, Kenny? That's the least you can do.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And everybody else, have your moms listen to the podcast also.
Yeah, your mom will love this podcast.
Yeah, your mom's going to love Kenny.
Hey, guys, if you enjoyed what we're trying to do here, we would greatly appreciate it if you could just take a moment and on whatever device you're listening to us or whatever provider, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher, SoundCloud or whatever else, would you just take a moment to rate and review? For every 5-star rating we get and every written review that we get, our visibility just shoots through the roof. Other people are able to hear what we're trying to do, and we can get the word out there. We're still babies in this. Like, this is a brand new podcast, but in these early stages, it's where it matters most. And so the more that you can do that, the more, you know, you can spread the word, then this can just become a successful endeavor, and we'll be able to do this for a long time.
Absolutely. We want to have fun with it. We're having a blast. We hope you guys are too, and building that group and that community so that we can enjoy these games together is kind of the point. So
yeah, and the randomizer is forcing me to play great games. I wouldn't have played Mega Man 2, so this was so fun.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast on Mega Man 2, and next week we'll gather together and talk about Animaniacs. We'll see you then.
Bye, guys.